Good morning. Today is Friday, May the 13th, 138th day of the new year. Joining us this morning is Humble Bay Fire Chief and apparently nationally known expert, Bill Gillespie. I didn't know about the expert part.
You never know.
Yeah. and for some of us,
quiet ones.
We may never know. Yeah, does Jan believe that one? No. Oh, let's see. Our quote this morning. Let's see if we can get one for both of us since we're both heading out of town. On friendship. This is cool. Never injure a friend, even in jest.
There you go.
I like that one.
Yeah.
Let's see. It comes from Cicero.
Yeah. You do that, they might not be a friend for long.
No.
Or you might not be a friend of theirs for long.
At least don't do it with email.
Yeah.
You got to be face-to-face so you can cover your tracks if you need to quickly. Boy, oh boy. So, quiet, easy. What was your guys' impression of the move out of the marsh?
You know, for our end of it, we were down there. We did provide an engine company. I was down there. Bill Reynolds, our deputy chief, was down there during the couple of days that it happened. And from our end, it was pretty light, pretty quiet. There'd been threats that they were going to burn the camps. They were going to light multiple fires. We did have a couple of fires. We had a couple leading up to in the early morning hours that the crews went out and addressed. And then when we got down there to start the process, there were a couple of fires that were lit. In a couple of cases, you could see, you know, the community saw the photographs, people pulling stuff away from the fires. Part of what they didn't see was people throwing stuff on the fires before that. And so...
Oh, so these weren't campfires. These were malicious fires.
No, yeah, they were... You know, we had two or three that first morning right off the bat, and then that aspect quieted down. And so we stood by then, really for the medical side.
If it had been the day after,
mm-hmm.
or after the folks... After the ground was cleaned up.
Right.
Folks can get out of the way themselves. The ground was cleaned up. And you had a couple fires.
Mm-hmm.
How tempting would it have been to allow it just to go?
You know,
and
to clean everything off. You know, right now, surprisingly, the conditions aren't there even to be able to do it. It's so green down there, in the grass, it won't hardly sustain itself. Yeah.
So no temptation.
No, it was one of those, you know, at that point, if it doesn't pose a danger, then we could monitor it, let it burn out, and then be done with it.
From the medical side,
mm-hmm.
how many needles and that kind of stuff? Were you as stunned as many of the news reporters?
Yes and no. You know, we knew that there was going to be a lot of needles or a lot of sharps down there, used needles floating around. When they started coming out and they were looking for more containers, that was a surprise. 15 sharps containers, 1,000 needles the first day. Pretty crazy.
It's 8:19.
You've never heard us before because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:23. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Bill Gillespie, Humble Bay Fire Chief.
Yep.
So, you know, I don't have to remember not to use that other word.
Yep. The interim's gone.
Yeah, no kidding. So with this entire, I don't want to say experiment because that's probably not mm-hmm. the right term, but with action.
Right.
Operation.
Right.
I was banging on Andy here in the office. He wasn't here.
Uh-huh.
So it was kind of a one-sided conversation about them calling it a police action.
Right.
Sorry, police actions in the Middle East are a whole lot different.
It's
This is an operation.
Right.
Yeah. So with the operation that happened, what are you seeing now 2 weeks into it? Have you guys seen a significant change in how you're having to deploy when you guys are running? Are you seeing differences?
You know, we are. It was interesting as I was on the way in this morning to meet with you here for Talk Shop today. We had an engine off the end of Herrick down on Pound Road, and we've been responding to that area now quite a bit, the south end of the Hixsari Trail and south down along the railroad tracks for homeless camps, campfires, that kind of thing. The second day of the operation behind the Bayshore Mall, everything was quiet on our end for the standby crew there. But multiple times we had an engine committed south of Elk River for transient campfires. So they're some of them have spread out into other areas.
Going out Elk River or down towards Fields Landing?
Down towards Fields Landing, but we've also seen kind of into that Elk River area. We've been seeing some activity even
on the ranches?
Just, to a degree, there was somebody that I heard of, and I don't know the location, but that has a barn out there and has horses and cattle that ended up found where transients had been in the barn. Even the end of where I live on Pine Hill, you've got the recycling bins. Last week on Friday, there was somebody going through a recycling bin just down the street, you know, in an area that we haven't had anybody in before.
And so there is movement.
It's moving. It's spreading across the city. I know EPD's working to keep in these different areas, the different green belts. They're working to patrol those areas, you know, to try and educate and, hey, no camping. You can't be doing this. Keep people moving, you know, but they're kind of shifting around back and forth between the city and the county.
Well, now we've also had a couple folks comment to us either by call or that out by the behind Target.
Yeah.
You know, the old historical town.
Exactly.
Some of the old buildings there are now the new favorite location. Now, you guys can't get out there.
We can get out into some of it. We've got access, like in behind the Blue Ox, we've got a way that we can get into that area with apparatus. Some of the areas that get tougher for us are like right across the bridge, right across Ryan Slough. And so we get fires out there occasionally, or we get medical aids out in that area. And so you've either got to cross the bridge, or depending on the tide, you go from the highway just north of the Slough Bridge there and go out across. If it's a low enough tide, you go across the dike out to the railroad tracks to deal with it.
That's got to be interesting.
Sometimes it is.
What about, oh, shoot, what is it, the it's not the Heritage Society, the interpretive guys with their little train cars.
Right.
Have you guys ever thought about having one of those?
You know, if it was a location that it was available and the track condition was to the point you could do it, because there are some areas along the bay that we all see that the tracks are hanging in midair.
Yeah.
You know, I'm gonna be headed out
by
to a
Mill
call
Yard.
On the speeder on it'd be Mr. Toad's Wild Ride.
Yeah, well, it's been a while since you've been to Disneyland, so it doesn't seem, and of course I don't have the purple passion that you guys do.
Mm-hmm.
A waste of time and effort and resources to go out into the middle of a swamp.
It depends on the type of call. If it's a camp on fire, we'll go try and deal with it if we can get there. Because if we're not able to, then dispatch continues to receive calls, and they get multiple 911 calls that come in. When we had the operation,
if you guys were hosing down the buildings and you know, that 50 feet from the building, so the fire would never get there.
Right. It depends. You know, if it's something that can burn out, that it doesn't pose a hazard, we'll monitor it sometimes. you know, and then that way, or if it's a, like in the case of a camp, sometimes you've got propane cylinders going off, that kind of thing. We'll hold back at a safe distance. We'll make sure it doesn't spread, doesn't cause other problems, but we'll let that hazard burn itself out before we take action and finish.
If you have an overdose, or which is what I would imagine most of the medicals are, it's not somebody's cut themselves and the
overdose, assaults, that kind of thing.
Are you going to be going out to these areas along with the cop, like you were having to before? So now the two agencies are both impacted?
Right. Quite often, depending on the location, if it's been an area that we've run into problems, we will go, we will stage. If it comes in as an assault, we, you know, between parties, we stage anyways, and then we go in with law enforcement.
Yeah, with the assault would be different than an overdose.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it depends on where the location is. Have we been having problems there? Have we run into issues? But there is quite a few locations that we do go in with a law enforcement officer.
How long does it take to get from the bridge to the mudflats?
If you got to go across, it's a few minutes to hoof it across the bridge. And, or, you know, like if you go across the rail bridge, depending on where it's at, it takes a little while to get out there. Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't think it's not a sprint.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
No, you don't want to stick your foot down through the rails.
It's 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Bill Gillespie, Chief of Humboldt Bay Fire. REDEC and CDH present this and most talk shops. The good ones, not the bad ones. Those are all on me. So you and a cast of characters are heading back east.
Yep.
It's almost like the Canadian geese migration used to be an annual event here. Seems as if it's almost an annual event that folks from, I guess, community safety, yeah, not law enforcement, but a larger net, go back and play the game.
Yeah, you know, there's a whole host of folks that'll be flying outbound when lots of people are flying inbound to go to HSU's graduation and the other graduations. There's going to be a bunch of us. We've got a few people from Humboldt Bay Fire that are headed back. We're all ending up at Emmitsburg, Maryland, the Emergency Management Institute / National Fire Academy. And we've done this a few times through the years. Every 4 or 5 years, we'll get a group back there. And what it is, FEMA selects 12 communities a year. And so you've got to go through an application process, and they set up a training that they send representatives out. They tour your area. They talk to. They look at what your industries are. They look at what your effect.
That must have been a tough one for them here, huh?
they were able to see a lot of sites.
Okay, sites. Yeah. Remnants. Okay.
And so we're going back to work on for training, and then cooperative work with the Cascadia earthquake event and subsequent tsunami. You know, it's we all talk about it's not if, it's when. And it allows us to try and work together. The Humboldt Bay Fire is going to be there, the city of Eureka, the county of Humboldt, city of Arcata, a lot of different communities, a lot of private and public entities, because we've all got to work together for our community when the big one hits.
You've got some private folks going too?
There's a few private folks that are tied in, representatives from some of the different industries that are going to be going back there. And, you know, and we've got a contact that a representative, Charlotte McDonald's going back, dealing with Eureka Main Street. as a representative or a liaison type for business in the Old Town area. You know, and the different trying to look at it, part of it establishes some of those relationships. We've had a lot of folks that have
been, that would be the bar scene.
That's networking.
Oh, pardon me. That's right. I got to get geared up for that too. Networking. Okay.
But, you know, it's a lot better if you can put names and faces and work together ahead of time versus, okay, the ground just shook. Who are you? Who do you represent? You know, and this one's going to focus a little bit on the event itself and what to expect, this and that. And then a lot of the focus is going to be mitigation and recovery. We're going to have actual hands-on scenarios as an emergency operations center, like day three.
Yeah. Now what?
how do we get essential services back up and running? How do we get the schools back up and running? Evacuation plans. How do we support trying to get critical businesses back up and running? You know, so that we can try and plan it out before we actually have to do it.
Yeah, I would think a lot of that stuff is, well, theoretical.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's got to go through it.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to go through it the right way. Somebody's got to go through it the wrong way. And
exactly.
Then everybody starts to manage that gap.
Exactly.
Do we have examples of both?
You know, we've had with some of the events we've had in the past, every one of them we've learned from them. How could we do this better? You know, one of the things that was interesting purely from the fire department side, when we had the earthquake back in 2009-2010, we were running calls like crazy in Eureka and Humboldt Fire Protection District. It was before we were consolidated. Call after call. You get a structure fire, we've only got 2 units available, send them. That kind of thing. Whereas we just assumed everybody in the region's running like crazy. However, like in Arcata, they had just a couple of calls, or South, they had just a few calls. So in theory, we could have reached out and said, hey, what's everybody else doing? Hey, can you send an engine to us to help?
I would think that's probably the most challenging thing, if you can beat it out of everybody's head,
mm-hmm.
is not everyone is in the same boat.
Right. You look back into the early 90s, you know, we had 3 large earthquakes right together back about 92.
Yeah, Scotia, Ferndale.
Exactly. Yeah. Scotia and Ferndale got hit really hard. Yeah, we, like the Eureka area, we got hit, but not to the level they had, you know. So it's more of an isolated.
Cell phones, something that has happened. Yeah, the reliance that people have on it, particularly, let's say, under 35s.
Yeah.
The millennials, some of the Gen X. If those go out,
mm-hmm.
and they will in certain parts of
the
zone, whatever
right.
the area is, what would be the anticipated cultural reaction to that?
You know, with the folks, I mean, we've come into a time where everything, it's instant gratification. You can find out anything. You can social media. You can talk to anybody rapidly. And like the last major earthquake event that we had, cell phones were very hit and miss. We found that, well, the cell phone wouldn't work. In some cases, texting still did. You know, we've got so many folks have gotten rid of a landline in their home, and it's purely cell phone. Well, when the cell phone goes down, quite often the landline was still working. And so that's kind of an interesting thing that you run into. You know, you also lose the ability to gain information until that comes back up. And a lot of people rely on their smartphones now.
It is interesting. I mean, as you're going through that, I wonder how many things have changed that people aren't realizing.
Mm-hmm.
Even, you know, if it's been about 3-4 years since you guys have gone back, how much things have changed.
Yeah.
KINS, News and Information Times, 842. We'll be back with more from Bill Gillespie.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka. Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back to Talk Shop, final segment of the week with Billy Gillespie from Humble Bay Fire. Bill, anytime I go to a convention, I go out with three or four. This is what I got to find.
Yeah.
This is why I'm going. You guys are heading back.
Mm-hmm.
What's the one or two things you got to find?
You know, one of the primary things is interoperability between the people. We've got a lot of new faces that are going on this trip. They're new to the roles that they're filling, and to be able to get them to a point that they're comfortable, and get to know them. You know, the big piece is that we work on. You know, the county has its own emergency operations center. The city has its own emergency operations center. Humboldt Bay Fire interfaces in both. And just because of the way our jurisdiction is, and it's the main goal of this really is to get all of us on the same page, thinking the same way. Okay, if the big one happens, when the big one happens, we're all approaching it in the same method, depending on where the damage or where the issues are, and we're able to work together because we know who we're working with.
Yeah, I guess in the top echelon, even though you don't mm-hmm. think about it too much, there has been enough.
Right, attrition.
Certainly you,
and
but I don't know even know if Ken would have been new.
Mm-hmm.
I think in that interim, Karen certainly is.
Right.
Greg is.
Right.
Is Regan going out of Fortuna? Do you know?
You know, I don't know.
Okay, the county has new folks in play also.
Right.
So.
You know, there's a lot of people, and you know the big thing this whole trip, this whole training, cost FEMA about $100,000 to do it. And like I said, they do 12 communities a year. As soon as we get back from this one, we've already talked with their representatives. What's the timeline? What's the appropriate timeline for us to submit another application to get the next round of people back? So you can plan deeper
in
the organization.
New people or new scenario? Different scenario. Tidal wave.
Whatever the scenario, but a lot of newer people, so that we can get more people exposed. Kind of that succession planning. So you've got more depth in the organization in the event that you do have people that are gone or people retire.
I would think that there are more challenges in certain regions. And if you're in the Midwest, okay, you got flooding and tornado.
Right.
That's pretty much all you're going to see.
Right, right. Ice storm, that kind of thing. Yeah. You get on the eastern seaboard, you know, you get a lot of hurricanes and those type of events. But really, when it gets down to it, depending on the event, it's a lot of the same process. So if you follow the
steps.
Just
a different flavor.
Exactly. You know, looking at that, how do we get that damage assessment so we can get that state and federal declaration to get help from the big guys?
Well, have a safe trip.
Hey, see you at the airport tomorrow.
Yeah, fine. Thanks very much. See everybody else next week.
You bet.